This is Will's Band of the Week for April 9th, 2017. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Hello.
Good to have you back live in studio.
Yeah, it's nice to be back.
You had an unexcused absence last week.
I did, yeah. I was kind of called away to work.
Yeah.
We've got a bunch of new kids working, and you know, they're not always able to keep up with the... I think it was a Sunday, right? Saturday? It was a weekend.
I think it was Saturday.
Yeah. Can't always keep up with the weekend demand, so I was there.
Yeah.
Some listeners heard me at work one time.
You know, maybe...
I was making some lattes
Sunday.
And stuff.
I can't keep track anymore. But, all right, but Grant came through in the clutch, so that's always good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a sports thing, right?
Coming through in the clutch.
Yeah. The Brewers won.
Brewers are not coming through in the clutch often enough.
Oh wait, they won and then they lost again. So they're one in three, right?
Right.
Yeah. Hmm. That's not acceptable.
It's not acceptable. You know, after the first game, you know, I think you pointed out that Craig Counsell hadn't maybe described the run differential and how important that is.
Right.
Because they got five. Hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But they gave up six.
I know.
So
I was thinking that in the...
You have to look at both things together.
In the team meeting, they need to discuss that.
Right.
You know,
so I think now they've got that straight.
Yeah.
So since then, they're 1-2.
Yeah.
Today, they scored in the 10th inning. That's good.
Weren't there one or
but
two...
they gave up two in the 10th.
Weren't there one or two egregious errors in the first game? So
yeah.
If they didn't have the egregious errors, they could at least be 2-2 now.
Yeah,
look at
I think
it that
so.
Way. So, you know, hope is not lost yet.
Right.
Yeah.
The two games they lost by one run. So those are like...
Those games could go either way.
Could have gone either way.
Right. All right. But, well, I think the listeners all over the world really care a lot about the Milwaukee Brewers.
Right. You know who else they don't care about is your Sunderland soccer team.
Oh, God.
But did you hear what the manager said?
No. I haven't followed
this kind of gives you a chance to turn your back on them and support somebody else. He was talking to a female reporter from the BBC and said that she was I'm just kind of paraphrasing, but basically like at risk of being slapped, like he was going to slap her.
Ooh.
So I think given that you've only been a fan for a short time, you can just pick a different team.
I'm going to need a new team anyway, right, though? They're going to get relegated, right? They're in the bottom two.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, the person that kind of steered you toward them said, don't worry about it. This happens every year.
And that was Roger, right?
Yeah.
Roger, it's your
Roger,
fault.
Roger, it's time now to get rid of that manager because of what he said and then try to turn it around.
So if I need a new team next year, this is how you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to listen to anybody else. I'm going to make my own decision.
Okay.
It's going to come straight from me.
Okay.
And I actually, in my head, I have an idea. But unless Sunderland has some kind of great turnaround and they hold me for another year, it's not looking good right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sunderland is on notice.
They are. Do we have any music news or any deaths or anything like that? I think the Rockers have pretty much stayed alive for another week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In deference to Chuck Berry, everybody wanted to, you know, let him keep being the most recent rock star to have died.
Right. He gets his death to be showcased for longer.
Right.
Hey, do you know some of my family members, not me, but some of my family members are going to go to Nashville next week. So if anybody has any Nashville recommendations.
Wow.
I went there 20 years ago or more. And it was like 25 years ago. And I remember that I went to the Country Music Hall of Fame and I actually thought it was really cool.
Yeah, I bet.
There was a there was a newer country section, like the Garth Brooks section, and it was terrible, right? Yeah. But the old-fashioned part of country
sure.
is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And very much worth visiting. And I also remember that I went to this classic auditorium called Ryman Auditorium. Have mm-hmm. you ever heard of that? They still have shows there. It was super cool. It was super cool. So I'm telling my family members to check that out. So I might have a secondhand report from there.
Mm-hmm.
But if the listeners have anything from Nashville they'd like to recommend, let us know.
You know, Chris and I might go to Nashville, and you'd be welcome to take along. But we were going to go in, I think it's at the end of July, because our soccer team is going to play there.
Tottenham?
Yeah, they're going to play there against Manchester City. It won't be like an official game.
It'll yeah, but they're playing in Nashville.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it'd be kind of driving there and seeing some music too, I guess.
Well, yeah.
So any of those recommendations that your family gets, we could use them, and then your family can also maybe pass them on to us.
Okay, very good. Last week I reported that and I probably should have put you into this category too, failed to go see Foxygen when they came to town.
I did not fail to see Foxygen.
You went?
I went.
Really?
Yes.
Well, in that case, I utterly failed to see Foxygen. It was one of those like late night things, and I had to get up early in the morning, and I had a bad taste in my mouth from when you and I saw them at the set. It just wasn't very good at all.
Right.
But I thought, you know, the 10-person band. So tell us about it.
Well, I went with Wilson, because mm-hmm. he really likes that last album. Mm-hmm. So do I. And we got there, and the opener was at the Majestic, first of all, which is a nice small to medium sized theater.
Yeah.
And the opener was Australian, so I think maybe it's Nicholas's sister, although they don't have the same last name, but they're so relatives.
Could be his cousin, yeah.
Gabriella Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
And she was there with, she had a guitar player / keyboard player, a bassist, a drummer, and then herself singing and playing guitar. And I really liked what they did, like just the dynamics of the band and... you know, they play some kind of hushed parts and pretty well arranged. It's pretty well put together. And I liked the singing. I liked everything about it more than really the songs. I think it just wasn't really my kind of songs.
Mm-hmm.
But that was fine. It was just the opener. And Foxygen came with a trombone player, a tuba player, a trumpet player, and then the usual, you know, rock band stuff. And they were fantastic. I mean, it was so, you know, whether or not you like some of the sillier moments on that last album, and they are kind of silly, and they were almost acknowledged as such, like on the stage with a little cutesy dancing and stuff. Even if you don't care for that, you had to admire the like I said, they were just so well rehearsed, and it was so tight and so perfectly executed.
That's great.
Yeah, I was just blown away.
I was thinking that if they pulled it off as good as the album, that it would really be great.
They did.
I just wasn't sure that they could do it because they didn't really do it the previous time we saw them.
Right.
And part of it was the venue, and part of it was that second album was kind of a scattered mess, right?
Right. I did learn to like it later, but it was not...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not focused.
So that's pretty cool. So,
yeah, they started off with a few... songs. I can't even tell which ones are from the first and which are the second album. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Some older ones. And then they played the whole album Hang. And then they played a couple after that. So,
great.
It was very good.
There must have been a good crowd, right?
There's a real nice crowd. Yeah.
Well, good.
Wilson especially dug it.
He was very happy. Good. Mm-hmm. So, there's a live report I didn't even know we were going to have.
Yeah. How about that?
That's impressive. Extremely impressive. I was just lamenting with Grant, like, we just don't have too many live shows that were, you know, I'm not sure if I have any tickets for anything until, like, a band coming to Chicago in September.
But I don't. Who's that?
The Chameleons.
Oh, wow.
Do you remember them?
Yeah, that's going back 25 years.
They were super cool. Yeah. And they were one of my favorite bands in the 80s. And then, you know, they had to call them the Chameleons UK here. And now they have, I kind of like this as an honesty thing. They call it the Chameleons Vox because the singer, you know, he's basically saying, okay, it's not really the whole Chameleons band. It's the singer.
Yeah.
He might have the same drummer, but he's got a couple of other people on guitar and bass. But just super cool. Like, I just have to go see this. It's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
There's another band coming to Chicago in September who's an old favorite of mine, Saint Etienne.
Mm-hmm.
Remember them? And I think my wife and I might have to go. That was like our early dating music in 1993. Yeah. So we might have to go see that.
With them, they've always just kind of been a familiar name. And I never really listened to them until you talked about them.
They're pretty cool. But they've got some really great sort of 60s retro kind of vibe stuff. Really, mm-hmm. really good. So we're looking forward to September, but between now and then, some of the bands that I'm looking forward to seeing that I've looked at tour dates, they're not coming to Madison. Some are coming to Chicago, some to Milwaukee. So mm-hmm. we'll see. We'll find bands. Yeah.
Well, but we're going to go see the Zombies.
Oh, they're coming to...
Yeah, they're coming to the Barrymore.
Yeah.
Which is...
Interesting.
That's cool. But it's $50.
What is the thing... Like, I can't really understand the dividing line for concert promoters between, like, a $15 ticket and a $50 ticket. Like, how do they decide that?
I have no idea.
Isn't it weird? It seems arbitrary, right?
It does, yeah.
But maybe, I think with some of the older bands, they just figure that if you want to go see them, you're just going to pay, you know?
Right,
if
yeah,
they're old not... enough, if you people in their 50s or 60s...
Or 70s.
Right. Well, if they've got $50, they'll just pay it.
Yeah. And they may be, a lot of the people I think that go are going to go to a really small handful of shows a year. You know, they'd go see the Zombies. Then if, like, if we're talking about the east side of Madison, like, if Arlo Guthrie came, they'd go see.
Arlo Guthrie would be like $75 a ticket. Yeah.
He comes every year, doesn't he?
I think
he could be elected the mayor of Madison. Like, the East Side is so hippie centric.
Yeah, we have pretty much a super hippie culture on the East Side. Yeah,
but
right.
So we'll see that, and then Flaming Lips is a couple weeks after that.
You know what's funny? When the Flaming Lips come here, I'm gonna be out of town. I just decided I'm going to require my wife to go see it. So I bought two tickets.
Nice.
I'm like, you choose who you're going to go to, but you need to go see this.
Yeah.
So
well,
she'll
should meet up with us. We can go to Paul's Club ahead of time.
Right. I'll let her know. She mm-hmm. will. She'll either recruit a friend of hers or one of our kids will go.
Yeah.
I'm going to be gone. There's this weird thing. Every April, I go down to Southern Illinois and run this relay race.
Right.
And several years... There's been like a good band that plays on that Friday night and I'm gone.
That's
awful. It's a really weird thing.
Right.
Death Cab for Cutie came one year when they were really like I really wanted to see them. Missed that one.
Mm-hmm.
There've been a couple others.
Yeah.
So I don't know, it's like a prime, you know, third Friday in April. It's like popular time, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not going to complain. I get to see enough bands. So it's better than being on a rog and having to look for the bands that come to Kitchener, right?
Right. Well, isn't that... Kitchener would be... How far is that from downtown Toronto?
Like 2 hours or something.
Oh, is it really?
It's at least an hour and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna
yeah, like, he can't go to Toronto without having an overnight thing. So, sorry, on a rog. That's just sad, you know? But when his daughter wants to go see Taylor Swift, then, you know, then he gets to the big city. All right. While Barrett's looking that up, we should probably start talking about music because, in fact, it is a music podcast. We knew, you know, it's completely spontaneous. So we've got some indie rock veterans this week. And I'm the editorial director of the podcast, which means I decide what we talk about first.
Okay.
Right? I'm not even going to give you a choice. I don't even care what your opinion is, Barrett, because I've decided.
Well, you're lucky because this time I don't even have one.
Good.
I do have some information, though.
Okay, let's hear it.
Going to Toronto is roughly similar to driving to Milwaukee.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
He doesn't have as good of an excuse as I thought.
Right. So if he's... Yeah, he wouldn't really have to stay overnight.
I wonder if he took a train. Could he still get a train back at like 12 or 12:30 or something?
I don't know.
Not sure. Okay. I've declared we're going to talk.
Check the train schedule.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Do that. We're going to talk about Craig Finn. Now he's completely, totally indie rock veteran, right?
Yeah.
The Hold Steady. How many albums did they have?
But, you know, like seven, six or seven. Yeah.
And so now he's. I kind of didn't realize this, that he's got at least three solo albums now.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either.
And he's from the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul. And did you notice there are some tracks where he does kind of a spoken word thing? He totally sounds like a Midwest guy, right?
I think he's
completely Minneapolis guy, and I think he is very much in the mold of. Well, I'm gonna put him in the like a blend between two artists that people should be familiar with. But let's play a track before I divulge that. Okay, you and I both have a couple tracks we picked, so why don't we? You can't start with track one. Let's go with number two called Preludes.
Saw this one we called White Tiger. Work park at a party, the holiday guy couldn't make change. The parking lot scene still existed, but not without problems. I came back to St. Paul, and things have progressed and got strange. Stuck in a snowbank, I was too drunk to drive to a diner. Right there is proof of my faith that God watches us. And the North Stars went south and my friends all went after Seattle. I stuck around town, hit the bars, then wait for the bus. And the guys in Northeast ride bicycles up to the market. Fish straight to water, but licenses they get revoked. And the writing on walls and the stalls and the bathrooms to Cindy so easy. But I never met Cindy, besides it might be a joke.
That's Craig Finn.
Yeah. So you have two artists in mind?
Yeah.
How do you want to do this? Should I just blurt out the first one?
Yeah.
Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah. Yeah. That was one of them. You got it.
And then maybe I'm just geographically thinking. I think that's all it is for me. But like Paul Westerberg.
You got them both.
Yeah.
No, there is a thing, like a little connection with the Replacements and Paul Westerberg.
Yeah, I think they're both really fond of Minneapolis, and they'll, you know, name drop little things in there, like Holiday Gas Station, Edina, St. Paul. Talks about St. Paul all the time.
And there's some kind of earnestness or something.
Right.
So I kind of think of him as like this blend of Springsteen and Westerberg, and I'm more of a fan of Westerberg, and I also think he's a little bit more like Westerberg than Springsteen in my head. And so I like him.
Well, to me, it sounds like this kind of his. I mean, he's more, you know, Bruce Springsteen is more of a singer, right? He kind of sings, right? A lot of the time.
Right.
And, but as far as his phrasing and getting a lot of words into a phrase, he's kind of like the first couple of Springsteen albums. And also just kind of telling, you know, they're all just kind of stories, right?
Yep.
You know.
Isn't he? Here's another way that he's more like the Replacements. He's not famous.
He's not that famous, no.
Right. And yet, the quality of his work is pretty good.
Right.
I think. The album is called We All Want the Same Things.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the next pick, Barrett.
Okay. Well, just to kind of introduce where I was coming from, coming to this, what vantage point. I had read that, oh, hey, this new Craig Finn, it's really good. And finally, he's proving to be, you know, he put out an album that is more than just, you know, another Hold Steady album that he's doing by himself. So I was like, okay, this is going to be totally, totally different, right? Like different kinds of characters and the songs and stuff like that. Different subject matter, but they're not at all. And I was tipped off to that by, I think it's about the fifth word in the first song, which is bartender. I'm like, here we go again. All of his, everything he ever writes about is like
bartenders.
Bartenders, you know, like mall rats, bar flies, being drunk, you know, cruising around South Minneapolis. Initially I was like, oh Christ, I don't even feel like listening to this anymore. But then the song that you played, the second song, it's like, okay, well, that does sound quite a bit different. You know, just the instrumentation and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it still wasn't really sold, thinking that, you know, these could easily be big rock arrangements, and they just sound exactly like Hold Steady songs. And it's kind of true. But what really got me kind of hooked on this album is the one called God in Chicago. And it's a typical thing about, you know, losers making a score and, you know, shitty lives and stuff. And it's like, you know, but his lyrics are just really, really, really well thought out. Lots of clever wordplay and never anything that's like feels forced. Like he's got an economy of language that it's not easy to do when you're making everything rhyme and sound clever. I think that's all reflected pretty well in this song called God in Chicago.
Mom found her brother, then she found the container wrapped up in a newspaper, stuffed in a duffel bag with hockey pads and $7,000 in rubber bands. We didn't speak at the service, but then later a message from a number that wasn't familiar said, hey, it's Charlie's sister. Would you do me a favor? There's unfinished business. It's roughly the size of a baseball. I said I wasn't totally sure, but yeah, I could probably call someone. I knew this kid from my dorm when I went to school in Wisconsin. My two semesters were a total disaster, and he was part of the problem. Hadn't talked in forever. But Wayne from Winnetka picked up on the first ring. I explained the situation. He said he'd be interested, but we'd have to come to him. We set lunchtime on Wednesday, a Mexican restaurant a mile north of Midway. He worked for his father's shipping company out west of the city. Right now I'm not working. She said we could split it. Just glad to be finished. Not even tempted. But it's so goddamn sad in her house right now. He's still here and everything. She just needs a break from it. Said she wants to come with. We left really early. Went from St. Paul to Cicero in my Chevrolet that didn't have any radio. Had a boombox in the back seat that was running out of batteries. Played 1999 and the Led Zeppelin 3. When the tape deck got all wobbly, she still sang the harmonies. The transaction was easy. My buddy looked similar, just a little bit heavier. And counting all the money in front of him seemed silly. This isn't the movies. It was over so quickly. Wayne got in his car, drove into the sunset, turned left onto Cermak, and she turned to me and said, I never been to Chicago. I got nothing going on tomorrow. Maybe we could stay here tonight, lose ourselves in the glass and light. Never been to Chicago. I got nothing going on tomorrow.
So I just like the way he, you know, in the story, you know, he'll say, you know, drove from Minneapolis to Cicero in a car with no radio. And got a boombox in the back seat that's running out of batteries. And you know what I mean? I mean, they're not like, they kind of slant rhymes a little bit, but.
Yeah.
And, you know, so going in, I kind of had my arms crossed and I'm like, you know, I don't really need any more Hold Steady. I just kind of had enough of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just think lyrically they're so good. And when you and Craig and I had a, Craig, our Ipswich bureau chief, had like an online conversation about British Sea Power, and then lyrics came into it, and it's like, you know, how important are lyrics? And you guys both said, you know, maybe not always that important, and I kind of agree. But in this case, it's almost like the music isn't that important, although it's pretty good. I mean, you can sit down, I think you can just sit down and read along to these songs, and it's like just somebody telling stories. So I came away really liking it.
I think there's a really great piano soundtrack to his talking vocal.
Yeah.
And then it's very effective when it changes into a melody and to singing. And I let it play a little longer than I usually do because of that, because I think it's very effective.
So.
Yeah, really cool. There was another little trivia thing. There was that reference to playing 1999.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he changed that lyric because when he was recording this, it was right after Prince died.
Ooh, wow.
And he had a different reference. Like, he was listening to something else, and then Prince died, and he's like, okay, we got to call it 1999. That's cool, right?
Yeah. I bet they were listening to Let It Be, like the Replacements album.
You know what? I can't remember what it was.
It did say, though, what the original?
I think so. Maybe I'll do let's do the music journalism while we're playing the next track.
Yeah.
So this album has a lot of really good songs on it, and the instrumentation is interesting, and the whole album is very worthy, I think. So let's play another one called Tangletown.
Happy hour in those high heel boots, splitting checks for some massive groups, red teeth and the buyback blues, the sketchy truth about the vineyard youth, can't slow down but her car's in the shop, she can't bail but she still wants to rock, she can't listen to the people talk, just stares beyond their shoulders, waits until their mouths stop moving. Knows this guy who likes to fool around. He's got a big house up in Tangletown. He claims he used to have a family. Falls asleep way too easily. She walks around once he passes out. Calls a car and collects what's hers. Takes a bottle when she's walking out. She's working at the corp when she gets back into a building. Drink until the sun comes up, sleep it off and then it starts again. Go to work and when she's getting off, tries to hang around some finer things. Tries to hang around some finer things. Keeps his eyes on the sales reports, keeps in shape with the racket sports, tennis shorts on the tennis courts. Lost his shirt in a bad divorce. The lawyers came and they scraped him away. He kept the house but he still lost his way. Goes to work but they take half his pay. At least a car that makes it look okay. The broker said that he should sell the wine.
That's Craig Finn.
Yeah, that's cool. I like it.
I found the reference. There was a Pitchfork review of the track God in Chicago. It says, the joy of this song lies in Finn's carefully chosen details. The sister and the friend blast 1999 and Led Zeppelin 3 in the car. And it says, originally it was the Replacements, but Finn recorded the song the day Prince died and changed it as a memorial. So you even had
awesome.
It. Of course it was the Replacements.
Yeah, what else would it
I mean,
be?
Yeah, what else
maybe
would it be?
Maybe Oscar Du.
Yeah.
That was the other option.
It's probably a feud now between Bob Mould and Craig Finn because he didn't put Husker Du in the lyrics.
Yeah.
Could be, right?
I'd be hurt.
Yeah. Come on, man. It's kind of a little bit of a rivalry there, right? Husker Du versus the Replacements.
Interesting that you kind of bring that up. You didn't read that book about the Replacements called Trouble Boys, did you?
There was a book about the Replacements that I did read.
Was it?
And
like,
I don't remember if that was the one.
Like either the second half of 2016 or later?
No. Okay. No, it was from about 2008.
Okay. This is a really meticulously researched book and lots of quotes from managers and ex-girlfriends and parents and the guys in the band.
Uh-huh.
And it is really, really good. And it gives you a look at first of all, Bob and Tommy, half brothers, what unbelievably shitty childhoods they had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Westerberg a little bit. And, Chris Mars, not so much. He seemed pretty well-adjusted, but if you want to read it, when I'm done with it, I'll pass it on. It's worthwhile, and I think maybe once we've both read it, or maybe even a correspondent or two, Chris, whoever, Craig, Nicholas, anybody wants to read it, just do a Replacements special. I don't think we've done... No, we did do that!
Yeah.
We did do that, because I remember picking the song Treatment Bound.
I think we did, but I don't think we haven't done a Husker Du.
Yeah, we could do Husker Du.
We've talked a lot about Bob Mould.
The book goes into the Husker Du and Replacements rivalry.
I think if you're a fan in Minneapolis, there's no rivalry. You just kind of love them both, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a rocker.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. All right, do you want to pick one more track from the Craig Finn album?
Sure. Well, I alluded to the first song, which gave me my first impressions, and I hate to always pick the first one, but damn it, I'm going to do it anyway. See if I was right about it. The fifth word being bartender, somewhere around.
Let's check it out here. It's called Jester in June.
Well, the bartender's friend sold us something I think was probably coriander. Fourth quarter, Hail Mary, wide receiver. Hail Caesar, the guy we've been waiting for, came up from the catacombs, walked into the bathroom, put it under the trash can, and I went in after. Do you even remember? He used to call us Junebug and Jester. He used to call us Jester and June. We used to have our own tune. We used to sing it in church. And then it got worse. We put too much faith, gave too much cash to that one creepy kid at the car wash. He said he could make a few calls, but I don't think that he made any calls. But we probably should have tried the guy with the Dracula cape, 'cause other than the cape he was cool. He had that wild kind of sadness, like he knew something important. I wonder if he even remembers. They used to call us Juba and Jester. They used to call us Jester and June.
So, do you think that Craig Finn's ever going to write songs about different sorts of things? And I was kind of hoping he would, but then I thought to myself, like, what would he write about?
Yeah,
like
he's got kind of
kids to hockey practice.
Yeah, he's got a theme. He's got a theme going, and he does it well.
He does.
Do you think it's valid to just say that that there's a comparison between Craig Finn and Sun Kill Moon? Yeah, kind of like the lyrical thing. And I like Craig Finn more because there's some music to back it up.
Yeah. I like Sun Kill Moon a lot, though.
It's different, I guess. I mean, maybe my comparison is a little bit not completely apt.
But they're both, Sun Kill Moon, or like when Mark Kozlik does a solo thing, they tend to be sadder. Like these songs, like Craig Finn songs right. mostly are like, if there's such a thing as like sad party song.
Yeah, I think
you know, the end of the party, or you're drunk, or like some loser scoring drugs and whatever. I mean, but they have the kind of the patina of trying to have a good time.
I think Kozelek is more just more literary, like completely on the storyteller spectrum, right? And I one thing I like about this album a lot is I think it's in addition to just being, you know, he's a storyteller guy, it's kind of ambitious and interesting instrumentally, right? There's like what is that lead instrument in the first song I play? There's like a flute or something, right?
Yeah.
And then there's a whole lot of
horns just, on that first yeah, number just one song I picked. And
interesting stuff, and it actually sounds pretty good. I mean, now right. it's just like, it's like throwing it out there for the
right. It's more than just like, you know, hold steady, unplugged, you know, or like an evening with a hold steady.
Right.
You know, where they just kind of strip it down. Yeah. They, there was more, you know, they didn't just take things away. They put things in instrumentally. Yeah. So I like it.
There you go. Somehow, how come the volume just went up in our headphones? Why did that
I
happen?
I didn't notice that.
It went up in mine. I have no idea why. So
I didn't.
It's the mysteries of rock and roll.
Loudly.
So let's. We're gonna go with just ridiculous indie rock veterans now, right?
Yeah. Their ninth album.
We talk about indie rock veterans quite a lot because we're kind of. Are we sort of indie rock veterans?
Yes, we are.
I think we
even
are.
If if we were a band.
Yeah.
And we'd been around as you know for we're going at you know how long it's gonna be. 8 years, right?
2009. Yeah, we're coming up on 8 years.
That's veteran status.
Yeah, we're in Iraq veterans for sure.
And we came into this thing as like old guys.
Right.
So
I know. So I think I had something profound to say, but I forgot it. So
something about being veterans?
Yeah.
And Spoon?
Well, how do you talk about bands that have been around for so long when a lot of the interpretation, I think, is inevitably just going to be, you know, do I feel like listening to this band anymore or not?
Exactly.
And they've been around for so long.
Right.
And I'm really kind of, and I was thinking about this today, listening to the album that maybe we'll talk about on one of the future podcasts that we talked about with Craig. But I was thinking, how influenced am I by what somebody else says about this? So here's what I'm thinking about this album. I might be influenced by what you say, because if you say, ah, I've had enough of this band, this isn't that good, I might be swayed that way. And if you say, boy, pretty solid album for a band with this many albums, I might say, sure, I think I can buy into it. I'm kind of really on the fence, so we're going to kind of see how it goes here.
Okay.
We're talking about the new Spoon album, complete just ridiculous indie rock veterans.
Right.
Are they from Austin?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Do they play at South by Southwest because it's in their
probably,
backyard?
Right.
Just walk over there, right? Just
they probably have their own showcase, like literally in their backyard.
You just walk over there from your house, say, yeah, we're, you know, by the way, we're playing tonight, and just walk over there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about going to South by Southwest when I read about all the stuff this year, and I thought, maybe next year we should just go, you know? But I'm still not sure. I'm just not sure. Like, is it, would I honestly don't know whether I would love it or hate it.
Yeah. The older I get, the less I want to go. And it's not just because like, standing in the lines, you know, it's not just the fatigue factor. I'm not that interested in just going to a show. Well, a show here and there is great, but like seeing 15 things in a row that I hadn't heard of, that just doesn't sound that great to me. What's your hit rate on that going to be? And that's a lot of money and a lot of time.
I looked at the huge list of bands,
mm-hmm.
and I actually thought, okay, you know, look at like Thursday. I could map out 10 bands in a row that I really like that I could go see. And that seems like really cool and really fun. But what I don't know is when I see one band and walk up to the next venue and there'd be like a 45-minute wait, and then I have to make a decision. Am I going to stand there and wait, or am I going to go to the next one ahead of that? because it seems like the crowds are just nuts.
Right.
So I just don't know. The you know, all the media people, like the NPR people and the Sound Opinions guys, on they always talk about it like how great it is. But I'm wondering if this is kind of just like a industry thing where they sort of have to say that. And right. they might actually be thinking, God, what a chore this is. Right? Because they can't say that. They can't really say that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. So, I would think that after a number of years, the charm would wear off a little bit.
I would think
You're crisscrossing the city and going into, you know, it's not like a festival ground where you, you know, for instance, at Pitchfork, you know, we were standing there watching band A, like Real Estate or something, and then like, okay, they're done. And you like literally pivot about 60 degrees.
And walk down the lawn for 10 minutes.
Don't even walk. You're just like, here I am like this. You guys, you people in the
turn
audience.
Your head.
And then you just like, yeah. And then like, and then this band is played. I didn't have to wait for the other one to have finished. Wow. This is really civilized. I can do this.
Yeah, it's
but
different.
The zipping around town and what are you going to get an Uber with a zillion people in Austin? And like, I don't know.
I don't think people, you don't have to take an Uber from one band to the next because it's mostly within like a mile. So, you know, 20 minute walk maximum, I think.
I don't know.
But the Indy 500 that we do is going to be completely different.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be
plus the top instead notch. Of getting a shuttle car, right? You get into an Indy race car. Like you're in, say, on one end.
We'll have Indy like, race cars in the middle of the track. They'll just be available to just jump in.
Do you get to
right?
Like maybe you could drive them. We'll
that
talk
would be,
to the
insurance.
We'll
better,
talk to the insurance company about that.
That's right.
But like you're like, oh man, you know, like Spoon is good. You know, Craig Finn just finished playing over here. Spoon's going to start in a minute. How am I going?
Yeah.
And then you just hop in there.
And they're like half a mile away.
Yeah, but so, you can go like 200 miles an hour.
Right, that's right.
So it's not really so much of a problem.
Right. But we're really onto something here.
I think it would be pretty cool.
You know what would be really cool? We're going to have Indy cars, but because of the noise factor, we're going to have them powered by Tesla.
Whoa.
They will be electric Indy cars.
Wow.
So they can still go 200 miles an hour, but they'll be kind of quiet, so they won't disrupt the sound of the festival.
Right. So, and there'll be a lot of time for giving safety advisories and things, but people, when you are at the festival and you're going to cross the track, be very careful because 200 miles an hour comes up on you quick and you can't hear it.
Yeah.
And also,
that's true.
Warning for the drivers.
That's true. A silent 200 mile an hour car would be kind of dangerous.
Kind of dangerous, yeah.
And we're just going to watch where you're going. People, just watch where you're going.
Yeah. You know, that's insurance company can worry about that stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll figure it out.
There's a new Spoon album. It's called Hot Thoughts. And, I'm going to allow myself to be influenced by Barrett's opinion on this, so he's going to take the first pick.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that you would influence my opinion. Okay, my first pick is number 3. That song is called Do I Have to Talk You Into It? So what'd you think?
I think you're waiting for me to tell you how I feel.
But
there's a thing about Spoon where I find myself appreciating their technical ability a little bit more than I appreciate their actual songs. Like, I think they're like, they remind me of The National in the sense that you think they go into the studio and they're really smart and they're really good at recording and crafting a sound that they want to craft.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they just don't grab me with the song.
Yeah.
So this album, kind of half of it I kind of like pretty much.
Right.
I also have a little bit of a nostalgia, like a soft spot for Spoon, because Grant and I saw them at Lollapalooza the first time we went there together, and it was really cool and it was fun.
Yeah.
And as a bass guy, their bass always sounds really great, and it's cool. You know, it's nostalgic because have you ever looked at a Lollapalooza lineup in the last few years? So you can't even,
yeah, yes.
It's like hard to even read it because it's like, here's like 50 bands that I just don't care about.
You know, yeah,
it's just
absolutely.
Like, you just can't do it.
Right.
So, you know, that I've got a soft spot for them and I kind of like them, but can't get super excited, I guess.
Right. I guess I really can't disagree with anything you said. And before we played anything, you talked about after a certain point, like when, you know, it's almost like when is enough or something. Or
yeah.
Like, I'm not encouraging them to pack it in or anything at all.
Yeah.
And I think this album is nice.
Yeah.
But it gets to a point where when they have 9 of them, you know, I'd rather listen to Girls Can Tell, which is my favorite one. And I also actually quite a bit like the last one, which was 3 years ago. What is that one called? I don't know.
Not going to come up with it.
anyway,
yeah.
Like it so much that I can't remember what it's called.
Right.
But I do like it, and my son especially likes it. But so it's just like, they're, to get back to what you just said, they're so incredible. And also, again, to back to what the conversation with Craig online, he talked about British Sea Power, and they're just like, they're very competent at doing the music they want to do. And I think that aptly describes Spoon and this album. It's like, can I have specific criticisms about, like, I don't like this about that song, or I don't like that about another song? I really don't, but taken all together, I'm just not really moved by it. I'm not likely to want to listen to it very much more without another, you know, maybe somebody else I know that, and if I respect their opinion, they'll say, oh my God, yeah, you know, I felt the same way, but you listen to it a bunch and then you really start to appreciate it. That could happen, but it doesn't feel like it's going to, so
mm-hmm.
I just feel kind of about this album.
Well, here's one that at least caught me a little bit that I think is pretty good. It's called, it's track 7. We like track 7.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Kicking off side 2.
I Ain't the One.
I'm leaving you all behind me.
Yep.
That
it's
one,
nice.
I think.
I like it just fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think that stands on its own as kind of a cool thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess, you know, it comes down to acknowledging the craft and the competency and the moments of excitement, but that not necessarily adding up to, you know, real enthusiasm about the album.
Am I going to...
It's not fair.
Like, am I going to pick the Spoon album over some random, interesting new thing to listen to?
Yeah, maybe not.
It's hard to do.
I'll spend some more time with it, and my opinion could change.
Do you have another pick to make?
Not really.
Why don't we play a little bit of the first track? Because I think it is pretty solid, the title track, Hot Thoughts.
That song would have been at home on any one of their last few albums, right?
Yeah, so, totally.
You know, I don't know. Maybe the way I feel about it, I think it just shows my biases against new stuff by people who've been around a super long time. You know, I just it's hard to maintain the enthusiasm for new things that come out.
Yeah,
by people who've got, you know, more than a small handful of albums.
Yeah, well, like,
that says more about me.
It's going to be interesting because it'd be great if you got just totally excited about the new Arcade Fire album, but I kind of doubt that's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm not going to listen to it.
What about like the next album by The National? Like,
I'll listen to that. I mean,
it could totally go either way, though, right? I mean, it could be.
I thought the last one was a bit of a disappointment.
It was. It was kind of just a downer, kind of.
Yeah. And who knows what they're going to do?
Yeah.
You know what? If Spoon is there, and is it Britt Daniels? Is that his name?
It might be Daniel without an S.
Without an S. Britt. He's already working with Dave Fridman, right? Has been for a little while. And so he produced this album. And I think they got to do what Fridman did with the Flaming Lips, which is get together in the studio. You got the songs. Just like no guitars. And just try something completely different.
You could go no guitars, or you could just go all guitars.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Do you ever think...
One is something different.
Sure.
There's nothing different about this.
Do you ever think that the Flaming Lips should go back to guitars? Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, why not? What the heck?
I mean, they've become...
They've kind of come
to the
end of the road.
I like them a lot, and I think that they're doing fun synth stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be cool to see them just, like, put on an album of rockin'.
Right. Well, people say that about Radiohead, too, which...
I agree.
You have to agree. When they sneak some guitar you know, into songs on their latter albums, it's like, whoa, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
You know, like the, yeah, you know, but they can't keep making the bends over and over again. And
yeah,
Spoon can't keep making Girls Can Tell over and over again, or whatever one people like the most.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough. I don't know.
Do you think
our thing is, though, look at us. We keep making the same podcast over and over again.
We do. Yeah.
I make the same observations. We mm-hmm. have the same jokes. We talk about the Brewers and, you know, having kids and make fun of Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about being old. Who yeah. in the hell am I? I'll just talk about me. To criticize a band for not diversifying, for not, you know, coming up with new ideas.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what all the listeners have been thinking, but
yeah,
I'm acknowledging my own shortcomings there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we've talked about indie rock veterans so much that we've been a little bit unenthusiastic. So let's raise the enthusiasm level.
Okay.
And talk about some. I'm gonna start a new phrase. Indie rock novices. Okay.
I like it.
These guys are total indie rock novices. They're called Century Palm, Toronto band, and they're fun. They've got some influences from, you know, you and I. You know what's funny? We might know who their influences are better than they even know, right?
Right.
Yeah. So you're going to tell them who they're influenced by. The band Century Palm, they have an album called Meet You. They're from Toronto. I forgot to say that already. Maybe I did.
You did.
I did.
You did say it.
Let's emphasize that. Because Toronto bands are cool. Here's track 2 from the album. It's called Trapped Here. That was not the whole song, so therefore we can't get sued.
Are you just saying that so we don't get in trouble?
It's a bad thing that we want to get sued, right?
We do want to get sued.
Huh.
That was the whole song.
It was pretty close.
So they're from Ontario, or yep. from Toronto.
They're probably neighbors of Anurag, right?
Well, right. And we talked a little bit earlier about how long it would take Anurag to get there.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about bus and train schedules.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did look it up. I'm going to come back to that and circle back to that. 29, you can take it. The Greyhound leaves 29 times a day. That's a lot.
Okay, right? I want to look at, like, suppose he leaves Toronto at 1 a.m. Can he get back to Kitchener?
No, he'd have to wait. That's the thing. It's not really made for
rockers?
It's not really made for Anurag's rock and roll
we
lifestyle.
Have to sleep in the Greyhound station.
Them, they stop the buses at 10:15.
Okay.
So
He could sleep in the Greyhound station and get like the 5:30 a.m.
Yeah,
bus back.
Absolutely.
Come on, Anurag. You got to do it.
And here's the thing. It's $10 is the average price. It takes an hour and 40 minutes. So
that's not
an hour
bad
and 15 minutes in the car versus an hour and 40 minutes on the bus, right?
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, not bad. But somebody back in November had a Yelp review of this line, and he said that it's too expensive.
The $10?
But it wasn't. Anurag didn't say that. So I'm not implying that at all. But.
After you pay the $150 for your Taylor Swift ticket, you know, the right, $10 isn't that bad.
$10.
All right.
$10 Canadian dollars, though.
That was Century Palm. I think they sound like, it's kind of fun. They sound like Buzzcocks or something.
Sure.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
And then they're a little 80s punky and a little post-punky.
Yeah.
Nice. This one's good. I'm going to play a track from later in the album. The album is called Meet You, by the way, by Century Palm. This one's called King of John Street.
The shadow of the sea and tower.
Cynic in me can make a comparison that you're not going to like.
Uh-oh.
They could be compared without too much argument with modern English.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Oh, you are? Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm all right with modern English.
A little bit too popular to be something that you'd want them to compare to. But.
A little too poppy, maybe? Okay, well, let's try another track and we'll see. Here's one. I'm going to play track 3, Then You're Gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one didn't sound like modern English, but it's good.
That's Century Palm, and they sometimes sound a little bit like modern English. But they're kind of cool, so yeah. People should check them out.
Maybe younger people don't have a negative association with that.
You know what's weird about modern English? Like, I don't know. Like, does your whole perception of that band depend on what you think of I Melt With You?
Well, I don't know, because...
That was the big hit, right?
Yeah.
It was like a huge hit.
What if... was it, though? I mean, it was...
It was huge.
Like in the John Hughes movies and stuff.
Right. It was huge in the indie rock of the 80s, but it wasn't huge, like, maybe overall.
Right.
But, like, my friends and I loved that song. And then...
I did, too, but...
But the rest of the band, the rest of the albums just weren't that great.
Like, when that... I can't imagine a situation where you'd be with people and that song came on where you'd be like,
It's It's a total nostalgia song at this point. Yeah. Yep.
But I guess it's kind of like a one-hit wonder and... A
little bit, yeah.
You know, maybe appreciated by people that you didn't like. You didn't respect anything else that they would have liked.
I had the album, and
yeah,
Jane, it had
my wife did.
It had a cool cover, I think, if I remember right. But I honestly can't tell you that the rest of the album was really that good after I Melt With You.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I Melt With You was a little bit blatantly poppy, right? I've played that song a couple times in a couple of different cover bands,
right?
And it does have a really fun bass line. So if you're the bass player and you play I Melt With You, it's really fun.
Yeah. Like, do, 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 do.
Yeah. Kind of like that. Yeah. And there's a little break in the middle that has like a cool bass thing.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. So I had to throw in like I said, indie rock bonus. Novices, right?
Novices. That's a new thing.
Century Palm. Check them out. They are they're hoping to someday become indie rock veterans.
Right. That's an accomplishment. That's a, you know what? I talk about Spoon and I was a little dismissive, which is, you know, unfair and shows my biases and, you know, whether did I want to go into this liking it? Not really. So that's reflected in what I said about it.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people are going to feel that way. But just to get to that status from novice, right, all the way to veteran, and like super veteran. We maybe need indie rock. There's an indie rock hall of famer, is what Spoon is.
If you can have 7 or 8 albums and people care,
right,
that's pretty darn good. Think about the analogy: podcasters in their first or second year.
Oh, I know.
And they hope to someday become veteran podcasters like us. Think if you're in your second year. You need 6 more years to reach our level.
Right. Well, I think what would get in the way is a lot of people thinking like, oh my gosh, I have to always have interesting things to say and I have to keep it fresh. You don't have to do either of those things.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything, really.
No, you just... Here's what we do. Seriously?
Yeah.
Like, okay, all you podcast novices out there, you know what we do? We come in, we either have a beer or a scotch. You can have whatever you want. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Unless it's an afternoon, like sometimes we'll have a fizzy water or just like a coffee.
Sometimes a coffee.
Yeah. You do that. What else do you do? You know, talk into the microphones. Well, that's really about all we do.
Yeah. That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. $0 worth?
Easily, yeah.
I think so. Easily. We're like well over an hour. We should probably delete some of this because we've given them too much.
Break it up into two, or maybe sell sell the Century Palm as like bonus material.
It's like $10 more for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably. If we were smart, we'd be making money, right? But we're just not.
What we could do? Yeah, we could we could have like you can always get the last X number of episodes for free.
Uh-huh.
If you want to go back further than that, then you pay, you know, like $1. If we did that, we would literally have dozens of dollars.
Yeah. Is there any reason why we shouldn't be millionaires? Come on.
No.
Okay, going back to the conversation with Craig.
Mm-hmm.
Craig found, he like sent you and I a message. He said,
yeah,
hey, listen to this conversation you guys had in 2011.
Yeah.
It's great.
That is right? Great.
So the archives are there.
They are.
You can find them.
Specifically, he said, because the conversation I've alluded to a couple of times was about the new British Sea Power.
Yeah.
And Craig admitted he's too big of a fan. He's lost objectivity.
Yeah, right.
And he was like, he had given himself an assignment. I'm going to listen to this, see if it's worthy of the podcast. He said, quickly, it is not worthy, which made us kind of curious, like, oh, so we'll listen to it. And only you did, and you kind of liked it and had a little back and forth with him. But where was I going with this?
The 2011 reference.
Yeah. So back then, this is just off the rails.
In 2011, there was a band called Shrag.
I remember.
And if I remember right, that's how Craig actually found our podcast, because he was a fan of that band.
Okay, that's right? What he did, is and go then, back.
And he went back and he found the podcast, and you said that
it sounded like
British Sea Power.
It sounded like a British Sea Power song with different singers.
Yeah.
And when he said, all he did, he just sent a message that said, back in 2011, with a little, you know, he's like, don't ask me why I was listening, but back in 2011, Barrett compared Shrag to British Sea Power, and my initial reaction was like, oh my God, did I do something really stupid? But I think Craig thought it was a good comparison.
It was okay. Like, sure. It was legit. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I'll take that. So they are there. Right now, the archives are free. That's no guarantee that they're
for now. Free. Yeah. Don't take that for granted. Right. But people keep contacting us, because we've gotten a few more contacts. We apologize for not mentioning you in by name, but we love it when people get in contact with us, right?
Yeah.
It's super great. Cool.
Yeah,
it's
we'll do a rundown next time when we're a little bit short on news and reviews, kind of talk about some people that have, right?
Gotten in contact sure. with us. Sounds great. So get in touch, give us recommendations, and thanks for listening, and we should probably sign off, right?
Yeah.
So,
let's do it.
Okay. We'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter @WillsBand. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.